Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got
and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast, episode number 286. For those of you keeping score, great music in our intro from the band Far Cry off their new album Balance. And it is a nice kind of damp night here in Lexington, Kentucky, but that's okay because I'm indoors. And so are my co-hosts for the evening. And that would be from Parts Unknown, the one, the only Daniel Dark, and then also the amazing Holly Phillippe. Yay! And she's there.
Hello, hello.
Is that a Holly?
And,
that's a Holly.
That's a Holly. That's a Holly. Well, welcome. And it's been a pretty good day, just busy as heck. And of course, Holly's having to do another Indiana trek, so today was kind of like the errand day. But Holly and I hit the jackpot, Daniel. We went to her favorite Chinese buffet, and we happened to get there right as the sushi guy was putting out the new just then had put out the brand new trays of sushi with everything, rolls and you know, regular sushi and everything fresh, full choice, trays untouched, right as Holly and I get there. So, yeah, yay for small victories. So you have to count the small victories when you're an indie creative, and this was definitely one of them. Holly was very pleased.
Yes, got my sushi.
Yes,
and they
sure
had
did.
Dumplings, plenty of dumplings, so. Yeah, that was great. Yeah. We had to do the post office run, and we had to do that, and had to go to Walmart, because I got a trek back to Indiana tomorrow, you know, for
all
the weekend.
All good fun stuff, right, and I'll be anchored
but
in here
planning,
doing
that. I am planning some fun. It ain't going to be all just misery this time, as usual it is, but this time all six of my grandchildren with their parents, thank God, because I would not take all six of them myself. No way, you couldn't pay me enough. Anyway, we're going to a pumpkin patch and do a trolley ride, and they got hay ride and all that on Saturday. So I'll be posting Facebook pictures. And
yeah, I think even more fun is – yeah, Holly is going on Friday with two family members who won't have kids with them, so they'd be like adult night out, but they get to go to a drive-in movie, and they get to see the new Venom movie and, I guess, the new Halloween, which I didn't even
– Halloween.
I've been living in such a tunnel, I didn't even realize there was a new Halloween movie.
I didn't either.
I've been keeping up on a lot of current stuff, but that one snuck up on me. I mean, I was not looking for that, so – what's that, Daniel?
Do what, Daniel?
Halloween Kills.
Yeah, it does.
What's it about?
I don't know. What is it?
Daniel, do you know?
Is it Michael or Jason that's in the Halloween?
Michael
Myers.
Michael's in it. They have brought back Jamie Lee Curtis in it. She's playing an older star in it and everything.
Yeah.
And it's about killing Michael.
Okay, so this is actually probably a continuation off the last one that came out with Jamie Lee Curtis. So that wasn't too bad, actually, that last one. So, I guess this is a direct sequel. You never know with the Halloween franchise. I mean, they were all over the map back in the day. And then, of course, you had the Rob Zombie reboots of 1 and 2, and which some, you know, a lot of controversy about that, because there's some people who absolutely hated them, and there's other people that kind of liked them. And I kind of fall on the side of the people that kind of enjoyed them for what they were. But this new one is just caught me completely by surprise. And Yeah, and I've not been that bad in my pop culture lately, but this one definitely slipped by somehow. So, but Holly's going to see it, so I'll get a full report after tomorrow.
Yes.
Cats and I will be holding the front line here on the battlefront, with all the imaginary editing press stuff, and I'll be holding the line here till Holly returns, but with the loyal cats at my side. But it's going to be one of those kind of weekends. But we're looking in the chat
Good
room.
Grief.
Hello to Sandy Linder.
Sandy Linder said that she was at Rule King last weekend, and a woman was buying a cart full of pumpkins. She said full. The whole cart was full of pumpkins. So maybe she's cooking with them. I don't know. Some people do. They can pumpkin. And some people do that. They'll also roast the seeds and in the oven, which you can do. A lot of people didn't realize that. But, yeah, you clean the pumpkin seeds out when you carve one. And throw them in the oven, I don't know, maybe about 350, wouldn't you say, Daniel? Put you some seasoning on there,
yeah.
Pumpkin spice, serve some salt, and let them roast, and they're good.
You can do that, wasabi powder is put on them, all sorts of things that you can, put on them before you roast them. And, because they're sort of sticky at first.
Right.
So they take on the powders and stuff that you can put on them.
Huh. I know the Amish used to do it a lot. They would, when this time of year would roll around, of course, they didn't carve pumpkins, but they would actually, make pumpkin butter. Sandy was talking about pumpkin butter. They made pumpkin butter, and they made pumpkin pie filling, and then roasted the seeds, and all kinds of good stuff. Yeah, pumpkin pie, good stuff. Especially got from the source, right from a pumpkin, fresh pumpkin. It's totally different than what you buy at the store that's been mass produced in a can. Yeah, it's totally different. Everything is, though. Anything you can at home out of the garden fresh is always totally different tasting than what you get out of the store. And I got kind of spoiled by doing that my whole life. And then I moved to the city, and it's like, oh, I miss. But then when I go back to Indiana, I always pick up stuff and come home with it. The last trip, I ended up coming home because the church over by where my mom and dad live, they're like, radar garden. Okay, they got a church garden. So we go over there, and I come home with, I had tomatoes and peppers and jalapenos and all kinds of good stuff. So I don't know what'll be left, this week, but I'm going to check, probably tomorrow or Friday, see what's left.
Yeah.
If there's any tomatoes left, I'll be coming home with them.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, you came home with a bushel of stuff, the last trip, and that was perfectly timed, too, because, I think it was right after that when you got the Pampered Chef air fryer, deluxe air fryer. I stumbled over that a bit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that air fryer is a
magical
trip.
Yeah, so that is awesome. So, folks,
you're getting all kinds
of stuff
in that air fryer.
You always know what's in our kitchen when you check into the Star Chamber show. That's true. We tend to give you updates on Holly's cooking adventures. And have a good conversation with the chat room. Hello to Carol Pre-Flattish. And, of course, Carol is actually one of my current editing projects I'm working on this month of October. So, yes, you'll be looking forward very soon to her third book and her Nathan Perry Mysteries. And that's not too far at all because, the October is my month that I'm going to be wrapping up her editing, and that's going to be awesome. So looking forward to that. And, she's in there talking to Sandy Linder. Sorry to hear you don't feel too well tonight. Glad to hear it wasn't that virus. I'm glad you tested negative for that. And Hope you feel better soon, Carol. Saw your note about that. And looks like Sandy's got more good tales going with her neighbors. And if you're a regular listener of the show, Sandy could actually do a Netflix comedy series based on her neighbors. Hilarious. Crazy stuff that Sandy has to deal with. I mean, truly, you cannot write this stuff. I mean, it is that funny. And so Sandy's having to deal with more lunacy. And I guess she opened the curtains Friday morning to see somebody walking past her front porch with a video camera in his hand, like she said, old school video camera. Yeah, these are the kind of weird things that happen to Sandy with her neighbors.
Sandy,
just a bizarre,
that he's in
bizarre
your yard place. And you have no trespassing signs up.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't want to like shoot the guy, but BB guns are not illegal, and I would pepper his butt. I'd get me some good pellets, and I would shoot him right in the ass. That's just me, but that's exactly what would happen. I know you're too nice, but I need to come visit you, and you say, oh, I'm so sorry, but she's a little off. I got this crazy visitor. I can't control her, and I'll pepper him a few times, and then he'll stop.
Yeah. Well,
there you
that
go.
Is Holly – the previous that you just heard for sake of official statements was for entertainment purposes only, is not actual advice to follow. So yes, that's you always
it's
have
not
to
illegal
say those
to pepper
things.
Somebody on your property.
Yeah.
If you have
well,
no trespassing sign, you can use a BB
Florida
gun
law.
And you can pepper somebody on your
law
property.
Yeah, I just don't
well,
know what Florida
I guarantee
law
you, you're allowed
probably,
to do that. I will come out of the bushes
in Florida
like Rambo. I'll
yeah,
put a bandana
probably
on, come out of the bush just like Rambo.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
He's cracking up.
Okay. Well, on that note, yes, we definitely want to make sure we spotlight our sponsors and give Sandy something good to feel about other than these crazy neighbors. So tonight's sponsors are Sandy Lender and the one, the only, Ren Garcia of the League of Elders series. So we got two great spots for you. Please pay attention to Sandy's spot because she just got a new release that's part of this spot, and it is timely. So it is for all creatives of all genres. Check it out now.
Tell an artist in your life you support and believe in them. Author Sandy Lender makes that easy with her latest release, 365 Days to Create and Motivate Your Inner Writer. This workbook is a journal, creative resource, and tool of inspiration all rolled up in one, with 365 prompts and suggestions to stoke the creative brain. Grab it from Amazon in time for holiday gift giving. That's 365 Days to Create and Motivate Your Inner Writer by Sandy Lender.
Yeah, new release, folks. And if you enjoy Star Chamber show, a good way to say thank you is by supporting our sponsors. So get out there and pick up a copy from Sandy Lender, the genre blender, as we say on the show, the genre blender. Yeah, she is just an awesome writer. And now here you go with Ren Garcia. And Holly, you can take the first response to Ren's immortal question at the end, and then we'll all answer, of course.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Ren Garcia, we are weird enough.
Yes, we are, Ren. Onward, my friend, onward. And many, many, many successes to you in the future. Daniel, your turn to answer.
I'm not weird at all. Everybody else is.
Daniel sets the standard, and everybody else is measured by that standard. That's what it is. It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, Daniel has a character that made in regular listener Clayton Barnett. Daniel actually has a character inspired by him in Clayton's new novel, which just cracks me up. So yeah, Daniel is inspirational. He's even making it into stories of other authors now. So we'll definitely keep you posted when that one comes out. But
he's immortalized. Dear.
Yeah, he's immortalized. And the trolley is in there, too. So I'm surprised Clayton's not here tonight, because Clayton is probably too shy, because he knows I was going to brag on him a little bit, because, his new one,
Steve, you're gone.
Hello.
Can't hear you. Hello. He's working
on
it. I yelled at him. He's gone. I can't bring the guest on if he's gone. So Daniel has been going on the trolley.
It has not been because of me. But I am opening it up at the house, and I do have a birthday event that I've got to do Friday night, but that'll be the first time the trolley's been out for anything in over a month. So,
no, gee, okay. See how a little break and feeling a little better, and you're going to do what do you mean? You're going to take the trolley to somebody's house, or they're actually going to come there? The guys are going to come there.
They're doing it at a event hall and stuff, having a big birthday bash.
Oh.
And I've already been, accepted part of the money for it, so I've got to go.
So, cool. Can't hear you, Steve. He's working on it, he said. Well, have you ever done a bachelor party, Daniel? It seems to me that would be perfect. For like bachelor parties.
Well, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, corporate events, weddings, birthdays, golf tournaments, different things
like
that. There he is.
Welcome back. Hi. We're talking about the trolley. Daniel does like birthday events and corporate events and bachelorette, bachelor parties, things like that.
Yeah,
he's doing a birthday party event on Friday.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
That's cool. Make sure you post the pictures. Daniel, you need to get on TikTok. I thought about this earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I gave in, folks. I finally got an account there. I don't have any content there, but I finally have an account.
Well, I'm telling you, every time I post, I get automatically I start getting views, bam, 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 and I get 600-700 views right off. So –
yeah,
I need to start doing more content on there, because there is Sandy and Carol. There's book TikTok, and there's authors on there.
Yeah.
Willa Reese is one I follow. Missy Starkweather.
Yeah.
And now Steven. I pulled him over to the dark side. You got 30-second or 30-minute videos you can do, and you got to get 1,000 followers before you can actually do lives. But, I mean, their video editing is easy.
Mm.
It's just unreal, the stuff you can do. You can add text. You can add text to speech. You can, do your own audio. You can do music behind you or just music alone. I mean, it's really cool. But, yeah, there is a book talk, Sandy.
How long are the videos?
Three minutes.
You can go three minutes on a video. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to move from TikTok to our talk here, because we actually do have our guests on the line. And had a couple minute delay because I got dropped. My phone signal dropped, and I had to actually re-log in again. So apologies on that. Definitely for our guest tonight. But tonight we actually have a guest returning, and she is an award-winning author, teacher, and life coach. And the last time that she was on the Star Chamber show, she was talking about her novel Butterfly Secrets, which is an award winner. And And tonight she's going to be talking about the follow-up to that, Brand New Butterfly Dreams. And she also has extensive experience in mental health and substance abuse prevention, grief, and healing, and has written extensively through published work in the well-known Elephant Journal. So now you have a pretty good idea who she is, and we're going to bring her on the show, the one, the only, G.L. Blackhouse. Welcome, and your mic is on. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Holly. Daniel.
Hello.
I'm so happy to be back on the show. Thank you so much.
How are you doing,
honey?
Great
to have you back. We had such a good talk last time.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. You guys have a great show, and I'm so happy to be back.
Well, I'm glad to actually be here myself because I got dropped a couple of minutes ago by the connection. So thankfully, I was able to I logged myself in as a guest, believe it or not, because it's still
because he was logged in, and I'm like,
host.
Well, I can't. I can't even bring the guest on because he was logged in, you know, as the host, and I'm like, oh, gee, okay, well, how do we do this?
Never fear, you know, we keep our cool and we figure out ways to work around it. We've been through much worse, trust me. We've had some convoluted nights sometimes because live shows are unpredictable, just to say the least. but we are glad to have you. And a new book and just came out beginning of October. And so, yeah, definitely that is, you know, the first thing, you know, I think would be great to ask you about is the new book and the early response and tell us all about it. And for the folks that have not, may not have caught the last show, give them a little review on your first novel and this one, just to give a little synopsis.
Absolutely. Thank you. So basically what it's about is a character heroine. Her name is Amelia Smith, and she's a 25-year-old workaholic, and she has dark secrets from her past. And she grew up in a very, you know, dysfunctional family. They're very, very toxic to her, and she has these mediumship abilities through these dreams. And when she's 15, her sister, whom she'd pretty much been a, you know, parental figure to, she dies unexpectedly in this freak accident that Amelia saw. So unable to, like, deal with the trauma in the past, she flees to the city, to Chicago. She changes her name, her identity, you know, everything that associates her with home and her past and her family. She tries to leave that behind, even, like, her changing her name, all of that, just because she's running from her secrets in her past. And then as the hero's journey would have it, like we often know with Joseph Campbell, and he says all stories are pretty much the same, you know, with the hero's journey, an event happens with her mother, who she's been estranged from, who brings her back home. So, you know, begrudgingly, she heads back home, and she's reunited with a childhood crush, Jackson Roderick, who, you know, she's reunited with. And basically, in book one, her journey is, you know, she's got to face her past, or basically let that destroy her, the secrets of her past. So it's really her trying to acclimate back to that life, and not only, you know, acclimate to it, but embrace that and really see these things that she's thought of as a curse for so long as gifts. So, you know, that's her kind of her whole journey through that series. And then the second book, Butterfly Dreams, which came out October 1st of this month, which I'm so happy about, you know, she thinks she settled in with her husband, Jackson, and, you know, she's back home. She thinks things are good. Well, as it often does, her life is thrown in an uproar when there's another death. Local boy Harley Puckett Jr. dies, and they're not for sure what happened. And, you know, it's a small, politically corrupt town, and the judge points fingers to, like, a beloved reverend in the town, and of course that's going to cause some disruption, and pretty much that alone divides, like, this once sleepy town. And, you know, you have the side who are on the, those who are on the political side of things and those who support the reverend, and she's basically thrown down this sinister plot of revenge, power, and greed. And then, like, once again, she has to use these gifts with her deceased grandmother and her sister Jordy that has passed, as, like, the clock ticks to save someone that's dear to her that she never thought that she could lose. And it's really, like, her own struggle. Will her gifts be enough this time, or is it going to just send her down this supernatural rabbit hole that she can't escape? And, you know, this time she risks her life and pairs with some unlikely and dangerous liaisons because of that desperation on her quest.
Is this pulled some from your life, obviously, but is this similar to like a memoir, or is this just got a few parallels to your life? You're just using things that you know and have felt and actually, you know, relating it to this character.
You know, I would say, Holly, yes and no. Of course, even though it is fiction, you know, I think we write about what we know. So some of that is pulled from my personal experiences with my own life. But then some are a lot with clients and just stories that I've heard, you know, just like experience overall in life and family and people's struggles. And you just kind of encapsulate all that together, and it became this story of, you know, just kind of like, even though I didn't realize it at the time, it really was about just dealing with grief and death and, you know, trauma. And I think especially today, like when we have, you know, the pandemic, regardless of political beliefs, one of the things that we're dealing with as a society as a whole is death in general, and, you know, and like trying to deal with death. And historically it's kind of been a little bit of a stigma, you know, like you don't talk about death, you really don't know what to say, people are uncomfortable, and it really is just like around that trauma and making those conversations okay, making it, you know, like if you feel something, that's okay, honoring those feelings. So just bringing that more to like mainstream and helping people deal with like trauma, grief, substance abuse. So it's really yes to both questions.
Right. Well, we write what we know. You know?
Absolutely.
We write what we know. You listen to the world around you. You listen to the conversations around you. You pull from your own experience, your own thoughts, your dreams. Stephen has a lot because he writes, you know, the fantasy element, so he pulls a lot from his dreams,
mm-hmm.
You know, and writes relating to the character. So, yeah, that's cool. I like
Thank
that, you. How it's both. Use a little of both.
Yeah, and even
Daniel,
when you're writing
you
like
have
fantasy and – Well, even I want to say, though, even when you're writing fantasy, though, I mean, you're using – you can discuss and explore a lot,
yeah,
of a lot of themes and metaphor that people might feel uncomfortable exploring directly. It's
absolutely
a really good medium,
right,
to kind of get at some things, big ideas, big picture kind of stuff, without you know, having people feel like they're getting beat over the head or having a more direct approach that people might not engage. So that's one of the things about, yeah, I think that's a misnomer about fantasy, is that, oh, it's just, you know, just fanciful stuff. I mean, often you do deal with a lot of serious themes, though, and with that. So I just want to add that to what Holly said.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. Just like, well, Daniel, I was going to say with Daniel's experience, he took from, you know, Jack the Ripper, who everybody knows. That's a household name. Almost everybody,
mm-hmm,
has heard of Jack the Ripper, knows some about it, maybe not as intense as what, you know, Daniel or I have read into it, but they know a little about it. And Daniel's approach was that of the knife, you know, and the story behind of what actually caused Jack to be like he is. You know, you actually find out the person. But he's drawing from history and fiction. So, you know, it's cool that what he did. And Daniel, you know, you lived back then too, so it was some of what you know, right?
Yeah, it's part of, you know, of my history and stuff like that, and, you know, memoirs and.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not often that GL gets to be on a podcast with somebody that's 200 years old. That's probably not a regular.
The wise but, say.
What? That's a treat you get on the Star Chamber show. But your new cover is gorgeous, by the way, too.
Thank
and
you.
I love the. I'm glad to see you right out of the gate. You got 2 5-star reviews, and but yeah, I had pulled it up to take a look at it, and yeah, I know Holly's gonna love the cover because it's Holly's colors. Her favorite colors are the color scheme. It's got a real gorgeous kind of teal blue butterfly on it, and fits, of course, with the title, Butterfly Dreams. But yeah, just gorgeous looking book, and
thank you.
Yeah, it looks like yeah, the first two reviews you got are pretty nice. Nice.
Well, thank you.
That's right. Yeah, you got a couple 5-star ratings already. So that's
yeah,
good.
I'll definitely be checking it out.
Thank you, Holly.
Yep. Yeah, because that's
right on. You know, you're my subject that I love. So,
but I'm glad you're.
Me too.
But we talked a little bit about the things going on in the country as far as, you know, trouble with dealing with grief and mental mm-hmm. health and substance abuse. And unfortunately, I mean, I think that there's even more of a need to address that now. I think, you know, because I've seen so many articles that, you know, said that there are, you know, all these lockdowns, not just in America, but I saw a big one in a big article in the UK about it and stuff. But yeah, that there's a lot more substance abuse occurring, you know, as a result of the, you know, lockdowns and people being kind of cooped up and not allowed to go anywhere kind of thing, Australia, UK, et cetera, as well. So internationally even, I mean, yeah, you've definitely got a, you know, unfortunately an increase in those kind of things. And so, I mean, I think your books are, yeah, timing couldn't be better for, you know, definitely helping people work through it in a story sense.
Thank you. So. And like you said, you know, from that, you know, we'll say, quote, fiction, because there are elements that are true, and you take those whole experiences of life and your perceptions, whether they're your own or people you dealt with or just stories in general. But I do think you're absolutely right, how we can just make that more approachable and even find, like, you know, humor in it, and then you do find that grief and sadness, but, like, that healing. So it really is, I think, a way to get your foot into the door to really start those conversations to begin that healing, because, like you said, it's not just, you know, a regional thing or national, it's global.
No, definitely. And yeah, and that's a, you know, that's definitely been a kind of a change since our last time that you've been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And but I know also it makes this current climate makes it tough for you to get word out. I'm glad we have this platform to work with you on. And of course, there, you know, lots of social media platforms, but it's been a real hiccup situation with book fairs and book festivals. We got lucky with, yeah, Imaginarium this summer because we fell in the perfect time mm-hmm. slot of the summer where people felt really comfortable coming out to an event. But then, you know, things contracted again. And then, you know, then you see a few events kind of pop up again, and then you see them closing down again. And I mean, it's been a real kind of unstable kind of live kind of environment. So I'm glad that, you know, at least we have tonight and things like tonight so we can help get the word out, because it's I know it's made life a little harder for you to get out there and show people your book.
Yeah, it definitely, I know, you know, as a writer, it takes a lot of ingenuity to market yourself during a pandemic, you know, but when you have that passion and that drive, you know, you find ways around it to keep moving.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so, yeah, and yeah, you have to deal with, like, going on Twitter where, you know, I have a ton of authors on my Twitter feed, and, you know, just get a constant stream of buy my book. It's like, piercing that wall. How do you do it? You know, that's the trick.
No, that don't always work.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, scroll, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what he's talking earlier. You know, you got the new platform. You got Book Talk. You got, you know, a lot of people went to more YouTube, you know, where they were actually doing readings. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, people have got a little bit more clever with things, you know, since the whole pandemic started.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just our new way of life. We're going to have to make the adjustments and go on from there.
Yeah,
I think authors got more video savvy for sure with all the explosion and Zoom calls and virtual conferences and things like that. I think authors have got a lot more comfortable in the video environment, and definitely YouTube. And we talked earlier about TikTok having a very large author community. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's definitely come a ways. But, yeah, you were saying, GL?
I was just going to say, and, you know, we were reminded not so long ago just how much we rely on social media, because when we had the Facebook outage, you know, like, how much we rely on that.
There was people going, oh, my God, I need to go make a Twitter, you know, or some people like, oh, man, I don't know my Twitter password, ain't been on there in years, you know.
Exactly,
I'm like, I was guilty because I rarely ever check my Twitter. Steven's
mm-hmm.
on Twitter, you know, he checks it every day. He's faithful
mm-hmm.
to it, but I'm not a Twitterer. I don't care for it. I like
me
TikTok
either.
And Facebook. I'm not a Twitter, as I say.
I do,
but
like Twitter.
I did check it that day.
You learn,
I did check it that day.
You learn who to follow and how to use it. And once you get in that kind of comfort zone, I mean, because I use it. I mean, I have my people that I look for publishing stuff. I have my cryptocurrency people I follow and it's a great way to really get news fast, you know, as far as for publishing industry or, you know, like I said, cryptocurrency, which I love and things like that. I mean, a lot of interest. So, I mean, yeah, but Twitter was funny that day that GL was talking about because Twitter was just having they were having fun at Facebook's expense because they had a huge surge in traffic and people were going crazy. And
nobody
knew
what was going on.
Yeah.
And my daughter-in-law and my daughter, we have a Facebook thread, you know, a feed, and they're like, well, we don't know what's going on in the world. How are we going to know what's going on? Because they didn't have local TV anymore. Who has local TV? You know,
we've all got
Netflix and Hulu, and we don't even have – we don't have Dish Network or nothing in our house.
No,
we don't have none of that. We just have the, you know, subscription channel. So they're like, how are we going to know? I'm like, wait a minute. I'll go to Twitter. So I went over to Twitter, and I'm checking stuff, and I'm like, here's what's going on, girls. So I was sending them articles and stuff. I'm like, here's what's going on. Here's your news. Because they're like, we don't have Twitter. Who, you know, the Z's and early millennials, who has Twitter, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you know, we were reminded
it's
how much
nearly...
we rely on it. Yeah.
It's so true,
it's not, I mean,
you know?
Facebook is just so ubiquitous. I mean, it's just so big. I mean, it's, you know, it's got well over a couple billion users, literally, and that's why I think people freaked out. But, yeah, Twitter's not a small platform. I mean, they got a pretty hefty user base as well. And
Instagram. Instagram's huge.
Yeah.
And if you use it right, you know, it's great. I tried being on there more and more and more for a while, but then I've kind of slinked off of it again. It's not my thing. It's all in what you like, you know, and what draws you, and that's exactly it. Daniel's like completely gone off of Facebook. He's rarely on there. He likes Instagram. That's his thing, you know, and same way with Steven. Steven's not on Facebook that much, just to check stuff. We use Messenger to talk to everybody, but he's on Twitter and, you know, some other stuff. And I finally got him pulled over to the dark side. I got him on TikTok now. But,
no,
you know,
I got
it's all in what
now,
you like.
It really is.
I mean,
and you
got to
find your niche, your crowd.
Yeah.
You got to find your crowd.
That's absolutely true.
You got to find your readers.
Question.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're talking about social media and everything, and that's great, but While we've got her on here, you know, to talk about her books and stuff like that, when you're writing your books, did you find that when you're getting into your characters that you had to ground yourself afterwards, after writing sessions?
That's totally true. Daniel, it's a good question because typically in my day-to-day, being a Pisces sun sign, you know, I tend to be in the clouds sometimes. I'm very creative. I'm a dreamer. You know, I definitely bring those forth. But my writing, like, grounds me. It just that when I sit down to write, it automatically grounds me. So in that moment, I'm kind of catapulted to that world with the characters. And then when I stop writing, it's just like turning off the TV at that moment. Not to say that I don't like get ideas for that, you know, like when I'm not writing, like they will come, and I've just learned over the years that if I don't write them down when they come, they're just going to get louder and louder. But I find that writing itself is very meditative for me. It really just grounds me and centers me.
So even though you're writing a dark session and everything, you don't have to get grounded afterwards then?
No, it's because when I write with intent, even though some of it, you know, is really deep and there are, like, dark things of, like, grief and, you know, depression and sadness and all that, it's really kind of like, you know, painting a picture, like, where you have the shadows and the light and really helping others see, like, the beauty from the shadows and seeing that light in that. So, you know, like an artist painting a painting, it's kind of helping them change those perceptions.
And it's a therapeutic for you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope as an author, you know, those who read it will find that healing and, you know, moving forward with that, that it'll somehow be healing to them as well, whether it inspires them, heals them, you know, like with substance abuse or trauma or grief, however, that but in some way that they leave feeling inspired or healed or motivated or whatever, you know, they get from that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that you've had a lot of, you know, experience in the field and, you know, and, you know, I've mentioned in the intro about your publishing in the Elephant Journal and so forth. What, are you still, formally active in those fields at the moment? And where, if you can talk about that and then are you also still publishing in that journal?
Currently, I've moved to a new position. I do more like public relations because it just fits. It's a better fit with what I'm doing with my life as far as, like, you know, the writing and where my path wants to go. But I still cover those subjects, you know, in my books. And I've not done anything recently in the Elephant Journal, but I do have – I'm currently featured in Kentucky Monthly Magazine this October edition. So I'm just kind of trying out some new things, new fields, and, you know, just moving forward.
Congratulations on that too.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
Thank
about
you.
Kentucky Monthly. That is fantastic. And but now about the characters. It's always interesting to hear about how characters come to you because they emerge in so many different ways. How do your or you know, and it could be different ways. How do your characters kind of speak to you or emerge to you to come into your books? What is your kind of process for that?
Normally what will happen with any book, I will kind of get like, if you think of like a knocking on a window, like I hear those words, it normally stops with an auditory inspiration, and I'll hear words, and like I said, it's kind of like a louder and louder knocking until I start. And then when I'm in the story, it's kind of like I just like the characters evolve and mold themselves. Like early as a writer, I was more attached to like the characters, you know, and it was like, I guess more rigid. And then I found out that was very limiting. So I just kind of let the characters mold themselves. And it's totally escaped me now, but there was a famous artist, and he said that's what he did, like when he molds sculptures. He just let them kind of become, you know, what they're supposed to become. And I find out with that it's so much better if I can just let go of that attachment and just let them, the characters, come alive on the page and just go on the journey with them.
Well, I have a two-part question for you.
Yeah.
Since you were going down this track here. The first thing is, what is like your writing kryptonite? What really gets you fired up and you're like, ooh, I got to go write this down? And then the other side of it, what is your writer's block? What do you think stems a block for you?
I would think that the writers, well, I'll answer the second part first and then move to first. But I feel like the block is more like when I get it too much in my head and like it's just more attached to that, you know, like because then you can, it's kind of like a snowball process and then you're not going to be anywhere that is, you know, that you're going to make any progress with that. And so the efforts are kind of futile. And inspiration is really from life experiences, people's stories. I may hear something really unusual on TV and you're like, oh wow, that's interesting. And you know, I really like Daniel's spin on Jack the Ripper, you know, where he sees his perspective. So it could be like I hear a story and I'm thinking, oh well, what about if we went, you know, this perspective or this or this. So it's kind of like just life itself and other people's journeys. And, you know, I just draw from those experiences. So really anything can inspire me. It could even be a song that I feel inspired by. You know, it could be a number of things. I don't think it's just one, but I do think overall the theme would be just people's stories. I'm fascinated just with life stories. And, you know, I mentioned it earlier, it's just that hero's journey that Joseph Campbell talks about, and just seeing people, you know, when they're at their lowest, that shadow self or their fears, them overcoming and that whole journey of life. I find that so inspirational.
And what is that, since you mentioned different songs and stuff, do you listen to music when you write? I mean, do you have it like a routine to put yourself in that bubble, so to speak?
I don't listen to music because I like everything quiet, but I do have the routine that I like to be in my recliner in my living room or outside. So I do have that ritual of writing, and it's, you know, so I do that as consistent, or I'll go outside. But I can listen to music during the day or whatever, and sometimes I will draw inspiration from songs, or like I'll hear a song and I'll see like parts of like the books into movies or images. But as far as when I write, I don't have that because I don't want that distraction, but I do have that ritual of just like, you know, the recliner, a blanket, and my dog in my lap, something like that. But, yeah.
Getting cozy.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, you know, a lot of writers have said that they have a few drinks, and others say they avoid it. You know, Stephen says he cannot write the way he drinks.
Nope.
There's just no way.
Yeah, there's no way I could either. There's no way.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I know. I'm well known for my love of bourbon, but I would not drink a drop before writing. Nope. I learned that the hard
Daniel
way when I was younger.
Port. You love your bourbon, but Daniel loves his port and cigars. And I know he's been on his porch at times writing a few things because he sent me pictures of the port and cigars. But you don't normally write. Do you write while you're having port or not, Daniel?
I did and everything. I'm not able to anymore, but I did, you know.
You used to.
Yeah, you know, the port, you know, helped relax me and helped get me in the proper mind state, because it's different than drinking like bourbon or something like that that's going to get you drunk and stuff. Even though you can get drunk on port, you're not drinking as much of it.
Stephen
says
he drinks and he knows things. He said it opens up, what do you call it?
Transcendence. Yes. I will say, GL, I learned early. It was like right after high school. I did one day, like in early college, where I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to have some drinks and write, and I'm sure this is going to be just amazing. And while I was writing, it was, in my mind, the best literature that has ever been created. And then the next day, when I reapproached it to look what I did, it was quite possibly the worst literature ever written. So I learned a very hard lesson very early, and that was good for me. So, yeah, I don't ever do that.
Now, I do have lots of caffeine. I drink a lot of coffee.
Well, there you
go. Yes. Yeah,
so
I always have an energy
drink in the
morning.
You do have a
drink
of choice. It's just not an alcoholic beverage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
Well, my writing sessions are in the morning, and I always have an energy drink with me. So I do agree with the caffeine thing. Yeah, that does help. But it's a process is always interesting how people approach it. Cause there's, you know, everyone's different.
Do what, Daniel?
I thought bourbon was his energy drink.
It is at night. It is.
Hey, I have not had bourbon since last week, and I always have it during the show as a tradition, and not a lot. I have a glass with me, you know, just makes it feel like a nice conversation, like you're hanging out with a friend, and so yes, I do traditionally have one glass when I'm doing the show, but never enough to cause problems.
I'd say, he usually stays. He's very chill. We go to room parties, and Steven's sitting in the corner. I'm the one going, woo, you know, and Steven's sitting in the corner drinking his bourbon.
The conventions and book events,
I'm the one that causes troubles. Especially this year at Imaginarium, because Daniel wasn't there to reel me in.
Yeah, pro tip, GL. If you're going around, they pay. Hold on. Give me get a pro tip in here. When you're going to book events or conventions, and they're hosting like various room parties, like publishers do it all the time, authors do it, always find that open seat and claim it early, because that in the corner usually, it's a great place to be because everybody's always, you know, looking for somewhere to sit. So yeah, that's what I do. I'm very good at this. I always get my corner seat, and I'm very happy.
That's funny.
It does work.
Well, I do have a good question, and that
Absolutely.
Is, are you working on another book?
You know, actually, today I started chapter 1 of book 3 of this series. It's probably going to be called Butterfly Wings, and it'll wrap up the trilogy. I also finished the first draft of a sci-fi series, and I have, like, you know, a few other romance series. So I have always multiple things in the work because, you know, it's just – I've written since I was 10, so it's basically all I know. Yeah, yeah. And that began, you know, it was a very spiritual journey for me. It was very healing itself because on February 16th, my grandfather, we were very close, he passed. And then on February the 19th, when he passed, I turned 10. And, you know, at that young age, when you're, you know, you're so innocent and impressionable and you have that much pain because you have that close relationship, writing became that channel for me to channel that pain and really, like, transform and heal. So, you know, it's not only, like, something that I love to do. It's been, like, my teacher, my mentor, my therapist. And when I write, that's what I bring into that, those emotions, my own journey, and really hoping to that's transparent on the page to help others transform and heal.
So you're not going to do a butterfly redemption?
You know, Daniel, maybe it could just take off. It could be. Who knows? I'll never say never. Or it could be horror, butterfly revenge. You know, who knows?
Yeah, it's present. New genres.
Daniel,
new
be
genres
all on board for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Butterfly killer. You know, it's limitless.
Yeah. So I got a question, though. When you were a child, then you were very close to him. Did you ever have an experience where you smelt like his cologne, or you actually felt his presence, or did he ever visit you?
Yeah, actually, before he passed, even though I was really young, mm-hmm. you know, from a 9-year-old's perspective, I dreamed of his death before he passed away. So, you know,
actually
it was kind
passed.
Of taking a little bit of those experiences. And in my writing, mm-hmm. I just really feel like his presence with me. And it's been since that day that, you know, I really feel him strongly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So he's looking over you. You know that.
Absolutely.
He's looking
yes.
over you and guiding
yes.
you. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That is truly amazing. My grandfather, I have to tell that story real quick, but
absolutely.
My grandfather, he'd been gone about, you will love this, he'd been gone a good 10 years at least. This has been, oh gosh, my older kids were like middle school, so it's
mm-hmm.
been a few years. But my grandpa had been gone for about a decade. And one night I went to go to bed, and you know I'm clairvoyant. So I went to go to bed, and my grandfather kept saying in my ear, call your mother and tell her I'm okay. Tell Nita May. And her name is actually Nita and May, and everybody calls her May. But
mm-hmm.
he was saying it as one word. He was saying, call Nita May. Call Nita
mm-hmm.
May and tell her I'm okay.
I'm okay.
And I'm like, Grandpa, I'll call her in the morning. I just got home from work. I work second shift as a nurse. And I said, I'm tired. You know, I will call her in the morning. It was like 11 o'clock at night. I said, I'll scare her to death if I call her now. He says, call Nita May. He would not quit. So
mm-hmm.
I called my mother and I said, now, Mom, because, you know, since I've been a child, she didn't believe me. She does now, finally, in her 80s, because so many things have happened since
yeah.
then that she now believes me. But I've told her since I was a child I had all these experiences. And I called her and I said, now, Mom, you're going to need to sit down. And she says, okay. And I said, You didn't always believe me when I tell you this stuff, but I said, your father will not leave me alone. And
mm-hmm.
she goes, what? And I said, your father will not let me go to sleep until I call you and tell you this. And I said, he said, tell Nita May that I'm okay. You know, I'm at a good place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay. And she got to crying. And she goes,
yes.
that's all he ever called me was
oh.
Nita May. He
yes.
never called her May or Nita. He called her Nita May, one word. I did not know that. I didn't know that's what he called her when she was growing up. I never heard him call her that, any. I never remember him calling her that at all. And so I'm like, wow, okay, because Grandpa was an alcoholic, and, I mean, my memories of my childhood was Grandpa being drunk a lot, you
mm-hmm.
know, and us having
yeah.
to get him out of bars or get him off the floor. You know, that's mm-hmm. my memories of grandfather. He was always good to me, though. I will say I love grandfather, but he had to be put in a nursing home when I was younger because he had had cancer and different things. But so I never knew him like that, you know, calling her that. And so that's what really turned her on to, oh, there's something to this. Holly has been telling me the truth, you know. But,
yeah
it's amazing. They do watch over you, and they do stick with you, you know.
Absolutely.
And it is hard for people to believe if they've not experienced. But you writing about these experiences and sharing them opens people's eyes a little bit more, or opens them to the idea that there's
Absolutely.
Something else out there.
Yeah. And to bring mm-hmm. it more mainstream, because I think when you talk to people and they feel comfortable to, you know, those have those conversations, whether, you know, they're clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, clairsalient, any of those, even, mm-hmm. you know, even if they're just having dreams. But it's just, you know, letting them know that regardless of whether you feel that loved one in your heart or whatever it is, that we never truly lose them, that they're there with us, always guiding us, and, you know, mm-hmm. that starts that as well, that healing process, you know, because it can be hard when you think you've truly lost someone you love, and you're, you know, that's very difficult. So it's just kind of, like you said, Holly, letting them know that they are always with us.
Right. That's what I said. Death is not an ending, and a lot of people
no.
have trouble dealing with that when they think, they truly believe that death is just like the end
yeah.
of all, and you just no longer exist. That's not actually the case, and we
no.
know that. We know that to be
Absolutely.
Fact. But, you know, some people that have not experienced anything, they have to, they're agnostic, they need to see to believe, they are open
mm-hmm.
to the idea, but, you know, and sharing these stories more and more and more kind of opens their eyes to like, oh, well, maybe these people really do, you know, hear these things and see these things. And especially when you can tell them, you know,
yeah.
just like the one night I was laying here in bed going to sleep, and I didn't know Stephen's grandmother at all, and she
no.
sent me a message.
Yeah.
And I rolled over and I said, Stephen, you're going to think I'm crazy, but he knows how I am. But
yeah.
I'm like, your grandmother, I'm almost sure it is. And I explained to him what she looked like, what she was presenting to me. And he's like, yeah, that's my grandma Mimi. And I'm like, well, here's what she's showing me. And I told
yeah.
him, and he's like, that's her. You know, well, I didn't
mm-hmm.
know all this stuff about her. But it's when you are able to share that with people. You know, it does give them a sense of healing of, you know, oh, it's not an end. I will see them again. You know, we do live on, and because our soul is eternal.
Absolutely.
And I think it's amazing to share the story.
Yeah, and what I tell people, you know, like if you think of the seasons in the winter, you know, the tree appears to not be like, you know, you don't have the leaves, they're gone, but then it blooms again in the spring, it rebursts, and then in the summer you have
right.
the full bloom. So we never truly lose anything. Everything just transforms into like another form or shape, but it's still there.
Mm-hmm. Energy can never be destroyed. Once
Absolutely.
Created, energy can never be destroyed. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yep.
Well,
we do just
well, I can
transcend.
I can speak definitely as a person that for many years, I mean, I was definitely in the Doubting Thomas category, and I had to rely on writers like GL to kind of have connections because I've never been so, you know, stubborn that I didn't believe something just because I haven't experienced it yet. I mean,
and there's
I can
lot
accept
of
that.
That. Yeah.
I can
yeah.
accept that, yeah, other people may have experienced things I haven't, and so I always had that door open. And now, fortunately, since then, and, you know, I went through a roller coaster of loss in the, you know, late 2000s, early 2010s, I went through a roller coaster of losses. And weirdly enough, I don't know what it did, but, I mean, since then I have had some just eye-popping, profound experiences. But before that, I mean, I was definitely, you know, it was a struggle. And you know, writers like yourself were the ones that, you know, helped me bridge some tough times when I, you know, didn't have those experiences personally.
Mm-hmm.
But it helped me connect to, you know, maybe a writer that, you know, could bring some of those things through. And I think that's, you know, that's where I think, you know, a writer like yourself, you know, definitely, you know, is definitely very helpful to a lot of people.
Well, thank you.
And GL, has any of your fans, your readers ever come to you was something that you remember, they've told you, that kind of stuck with you, that they've, you know, experienced from your writing, or it's opened up a door for them? Do you have anything like memorable, I can't even say the word right now, that you can share with us?
You know, of course I do have people who do talk some about death and experiences they've had, which I think is great because that's opening the door. It's almost like, you know, like you said, there's a stigma attached to that and people don't have those conversations. When we start having those, I think, you know, that's when the healing process begins. But even like people talk about family with substance abuse or grief or death, you know, and just being able to have those conversations, I think is, you know, really what stuck with me, just seeing that it's okay, like, to feel these ways, you know, to have your emotions, and that it's just the grief process, and there's no anything set in stone. But I think probably overall what, you know, even past that, is just people, because of, like, when, you know, you do write, and I'm sure Daniel or Stephen, you know, like, as a writer, it's always good to know that you inspire other people to write. You pave that way for them, and they feel inspired that they can do it as well. You know, I cannot tell you all the people that I run into that's like, oh, you write? Well, I've always wanted to write a book, you know, and I never thought I could. And I always tell them, you know, it's like an athlete. You train and you work out every day like an athlete does. You build that muscle. Some days you're not going to be on point. An athlete's not. Other days they will. The same with writing. You just do it daily and you're going to practice that muscle. There's days that I write that's terrible and other days it's really good. But, you know, it's just keeping on with that and that tenacity and that drive. And just, I think my advice, and this is a little bit off the subject matter, but I think it's really important, is for anybody that's wanted to write, just get that on paper. Don't worry about the outcome or, you know, anything set in stone. It's just taking that first step, you know, and getting it out there, and then you've already done that, you know, and I think that's the biggest advice that I could give anyone.
Hey, Holly, who does that sound like?
Yeah, that would be Zimmer.
You just nailed it.
Let me tell you, Stephen thinks that he's failed if he hasn't written like, 2,000
no.
words. He came out the other day and he's like, Holly, I only wrote 1,200 words. I said, well, you know what?
Yeah.
That's more than I'm going to write this month. You know, so,
Hold on, why are you complaining?
I do not
have a word count, and I don't advise writers to get stuck on
that,
because it can be really debilitating for a lot of writers and discouraging. I push myself a little bit. You know, I'm in the thick of a novel, but I generally am frustrated. Sometimes you are right,
Gil.
I'm glad you said that. So it's like a working out as an athlete. You have days that you really struggle in the gym, and I've been there because I played baseball up to the college level, and so, you know, I've been there, and there's days when you just don't have it, and it's not coming. And then there's days where, boy, you're in that groove and it's popping, and, you know, you're really hitting it on all cylinders. And yeah. And the key is just being consistent and regular about it. It's not, you have to conquer the world in one given writing session, but the fact that you're doing it on a regular basis. And that
humans
is
are a creature
and
of habit. We have to make habits because we're starting the process.
Yeah, so Holly hears me when I'm mad at myself or when I'm happy with myself. You know, she definitely gets the review when I come out.
I'm like, why are you complaining? You know.
but the key is that and it is relevant to the conversation. Yeah, definitely. Great advice, and the key is consistency and not worrying. Yeah, get it down on the screen. And I know everybody says paper, but now it's getting it down on the screen.
Yeah,
well, Daniel's even mentioned before writing it on a napkin. If you're in a restaurant and something comes to you, write it down. You know, just get it down and you're writing something, you know,
or on your notes,
we're definitely creatures of habit.
Yeah, you know, and what I tell people too, I think a mistake that people make is they try to write like, you know, the next Titanic or the next Star Wars or whatever. I would say write the story that you want to hear, make it unique to what you know, but don't do it for the money or the fame. But do it because you love it. I mean, whether it's writing or, you know, or you want to be an athlete or whatever your dream is, do it because you love it. no other reason. And then at the worst case scenario, if you do something you love, the worst case scenario is you spending time doing something you love, you know, so you have nothing to lose. You just do it because you love it.
Right.
The one
right.
thing I was reminded of yesterday mm-hmm. was even though I'm going through health issues and stuff like that, the creative side of you can keep you in a position to where your mind keeps activating and stuff like that, that you, you know, are able to not lose different parts of your life because of you're able to sit there and put a creative side out.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that still operates the mind. It still keeps the mind working. It keeps everything clicking for your day-to-day activities that you are going through and stuff.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Yeah, it keeps subconscious in a zone, I think. That's the thing.
Right.
It keeps you in a zone. Even when you're
the more
not
you
writing,
use a
keep,
muscle,
keep
the more it develops, and that's with anything. The
yeah.
more you use something, the better you get at it. It's just like if you're playing a instrument or you're painting, or the more you're writing, the more you do something, the better you're going to get, period.
Yeah.
And you're never going to know everything, because if you think you do, then you need to stop, because
oh, yeah.
you're
mm-hmm.
in the raw field.
Yeah,
because you're
raw,
never going to know
field,
everything
yeah.
about everything,
exactly,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's always something to learn. There's
yeah.
always learning from your peers, mentors. There's always something there to learn.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
I just do the writing and everything for all the money that I get out of it and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah, the lucrative world of indie authors, yes.
Yeah, you know,
we're buying
I figure it's one day that pays off, baby. I'm trying.
Getting that beachfront property in Belize, that's right, you know.
We're trying.
it's home in Ibiza, you know.
Yeah. It's definitely a passion. Writing is a
yeah.
passion, you know.
Absolutely.
You got to love what you're doing. You're not going to do it. And you know, if you are lucky and make a bunch of money, well, we ain't going to complain. But,
no.
you know, but if not,
no.
at least
wonderful.
You're getting it out there. And once your book mm-hmm. is published and out there, you are immortalized in a sense because, I mean, it's always going to be there. You know,
absolutely.
And you don't know. Look at poor Edgar Allan Poe. He wouldn't
mm-hmm.
consider nothing during his time, which was heartbreaking. And
yeah, that's
he
rough.
Was depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just not treated right. And so he dealt with his own turmoils. But I mean, now people revere him. I revere him. He's one of my favorite authors. But
mm-hmm.
it's things like that. You don't know who you're going to touch down the line, and it may be while you're alive, it may be when you're gone from here, you're still going to touch people. So what you're putting out now, GL, is going to help and be therapeutic for people from here on out, because it's out, people are going to read it, they're going to relate, it's a topic that's never going to go out of style. I mean, obviously, the grief process is always going to be the same. You know,
yeah.
how they deal with it may be a little different, but it's still going to be there. It's still relative. It's still going to help them.
Absolutely.
And that's what you can look at, you know. You're thinking,
thank
well,
you.
If
true.
I
yeah.
if I, you know, if I don't have a million readers now, that don't mean I won't eventually. And if you can help
mm-hmm.
just a few of those people, then it's all been worth it, you know.
Well, thank you. I mean, that, you know, I would agree. And, like, you know, I do think,
mm-hmm.
like, that legacy part's important, too, like you said. You know, that
exactly.
it could be years later, because one of my favorite poets is a Sufi poet, Rumi, R-U-M-I, and that's, like, thousands
of
years.
Oh, I know
yeah.
who Rumi is. I love
thousands,
Rumi.
We do.
Yeah, thousands of years
yeah.
ago, when he is still just immortalized, and it's still applicable. Mm-hmm. You know, his poetry really speaks to my soul. I love it. But, I mean,
yep.
thousands of years, and he's still immortalized. So, you know, it
yep.
can happen.
The Buddha, you know,
yeah.
I said it's it's going to go on till the end of time. You know, there's some writings that are just immortalized, which is going to touch people. And it's always going to be relative because you're speaking to the soul. You're speaking at a different level. Who's that author that you read, Paulo, Stephen?
Oh,
Paulo Coelho.
Alchemist?
Paulo Coelho.
The Alchemist?
Love him.
He's really good. I love The Alchemist.
One of my top five favorite authors. She reads Paulo.
Author.
Because he's phenomenal. I haven't read none of his books, but I share a lot of his quotes because they're just phenomenal.
He really is. I love The Alchemist. It's one of my top books. It's a really good book.
Oh, yes. Oh yeah, there's so many gems in his bibliography. It's just amazing writer. But I think that one thing that I wanted to comment on is that reflected in the themes that you explore, and you talked about how Rumi's poetry, echoes across the ages and is still relevant. Mm-hmm. But the themes that you're dealing with are actually timeless themes. I mean, they're about the life experience, and even if the trappings of the story might be in a different setting, and you might have different technology or a different time period or whatever, I mean, the deeper themes that are being explored are timeless. I mean, they are part of the human experience, and that echoes, you know, across all time periods and can speak to all time periods. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the magical aspects of being a writer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to all those people that I've said this many times on the show, but to all those people that, you know, say, I've always wanted to write, but I don't know if I could write a novel or anything like that, you know, I always wanted to write a book, but I failed English 101 three times in college.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who would ever want to read my dribble?
Me.
I wrote a book, was up for 9 different awards and everything with that book, and became an award-winning author.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like flabbergasted that anybody even noticed my book because of the fact that, you know, where I started from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to each one of those people, you know, just give them, you know, you can give them my history if you want to, but, you know, just tell them, you know, you never know what you can do until you do it.
Exactly. It's, you know, taking that first step, getting it out there. And, you know, like I tell people, there's all different genres of music you can get on iTunes now, and it's totally just flooring, just the amount of genres. So that just shows there's something for everyone. And, you know, like you said, you know, someone may think they don't want to know my story. But when you have people on TikTok or YouTube videos just watching people, like, play with Jell-O or the weird trends going on, that shows it's something for everyone. Just do it, you know, get it out there, because someone somewhere is going to relate.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I will say that playing with Jell-O is definitely better than eating Tide Pods, right?
Exactly.
Well, my granddaughter, that's so funny because she's 7 years old, and she will sit here, and Stephen can vouch, she'll sit here if I would let her for hours, but I'm like, here, Raven, you need to go outside or we need to do something. Well, she loves riding bikes. She loves playing outside, but she loves slime videos. She or unboxing or people playing with Barbies. And I'm like,
yeah.
Raven, you could be playing with Barbies. Why is this so exciting? And let me tell you, then in the next minute, I'll be sitting here with her for just a few minutes, and then I get sucked in, and I'm watching the same crap. And I'm like, oh, for real? No, we got to go do something. You know?
True story.
It's just, I don't know. It's just us. I don't know what draws us in with it, but it's amazing. So there is literally a fan out there for everything. That's
absolutely
like Daniel's writing. We refer to it as my crack. That's my mind crack. So Daniel will send me something. He's like, here, you need some more crack. Yes, you know, because I love Daniel's writing. I've became his editor, but I love his writing. So. It worked out.
Yeah, and you never know how you could touch someone else or inspire them by sharing
True.
That story. You know, I mean, you never know how it's going to touch them.
Mm-hmm. Do what,
that,
Daniel?
I am curious. I hope that you do expand your butterfly series. I mean, it's definitely I've seen so many authors that set out originally do a trilogy, and all of a sudden they have a 5-6-book series. I've seen that happen many times. I like to joke with Michael Williams that, you know, he's working on his 4-book trilogy right now.
Hold on. What was Daniel saying? Daniel had a statement. What was it, Daniel?
Okay.
I'm way behind on my crack. I haven't delivered in a long time, and I need to deliver some.
You do.
Yes.
I'm parched.
Yes, you do. But what other genres appeal to you for exploring? I know sometimes authors will work on multiple series or projects, you know, in the same time zone. Are there other types of writing or genres that appeal to you to work on in the future? I'm just curious.
You know, my comfort zone, of course, is like romance, paranormal, all that. But I really try to challenge myself, not write anything off. And if it comes to me, the idea, just go there and, you know, explore it and be open, kind of be like that adventurer and just kind of, you know, try it and see what I think and be open. And that was really shocked that this sci-fi series came up. I mean, I love Star Wars, things like that, but I never consider myself a sci-fi author, and it just kind of came along. So I would just say I'm basically open to anything. And I'll just kind of go where the journey takes me and just leave that open.
Very cool.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's good to be fearless. I mean, I once was challenged to do steampunk, and I'd never written in that genre, and I wasn't even that familiar with the genre other than maybe,
yeah.
you know, the original kind of inspirations for it, like Jules Verne, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something that I said, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And it was one of the best writing experiences I've ever had, and it worked out beautifully. I mean, yeah, you just cannot be too afraid to try something new and go with it, you know. So it's it does work out sometimes.
Yeah, I just keep writing kids' books, you know.
books. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'm waiting for that one.
Oh, man. Yeah. Kids' books, right.
Jeez, oh, Pete. So beside Rumi, who's some of your influences as far as authors?
Oh, well, it's pretty eclectic. Of course, I love I love Joseph Campbell. I like Sylvia Plath, The Bell Jar. I mean, I know it's very morbid, mm-hmm. but I love her amount of, like, how she can really take you into that experience in her description, like when she will, in The Bell Jar, where she talks about the nicotine-stained nails. You know, everyone can relate to that, but it's not something most authors
right.
would think to describe. Nicholas Sparks, I mean, probably a lot of people had that. I do like a lot of poets, too. Like, I love Maya Angelou. I love Annie Nin. I love, like, poetic writing, whether it is poetry or fiction, nonfiction, because I see everything as kind of like art. I love Tagore, Hafiz, Rumi, of course. I love The Alchemist. I love The Four Agreements, Siddhartha, Think and Grow Rich. So it's very eclectic what I listen, you know, what I'll read. Some of them are spiritual nonfiction, some are fiction, and it's just very eclectic. But the main thing is if it touches my soul or moves me or is, you know, kind of like poetic. I really love authors that speak in like a poetic, artistic form. If they do, that they probably got me, suck me in.
And you just illustrated something that I always tell authors to do. Read outside the genre that you write in. It will improve mm-hmm. your writing. And you just illustrated that beautifully. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And read. Read.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. If you're going to be a great writer, you have to read. And I know we're very bad about – me and Stephen, we – when it was warmer, like in the summer, we'd sit out here on the back deck and have a reading session at least every evening. But
right.
we've had so much crazy going on with personal issues and my family and everything for a while that we've not, you know, really made that a habit again. But we read so much being publishers and everything. It's hard, you know, but you do have to read. You do.
Yeah.
Whether it's research, you're doing research, that's reading, or reading outside your genre, like Steven says. If you're normally writing horror, you know, read some sci-fi. Read some, you know, something else outside. Read some romance. Read something off the wall that you don't think you'd like. You might find out, oh, indeed I do, or it'll give you an idea to throw in your next book. You know,
you
get
learn.
Inspired.
You learn from all those
you
writers.
Learn.
Yes. Every
that's
time.
It.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you will improve. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be a good writer, you have to be a good reader. I mean, that's
true.
Something I will – that's the hill I will die on as a writer. I will say that. Yeah, you have to – you can't – I don't get it. I see so many writers on Twitter say, oh, I don't have time.
They
don't
read
it at all. And I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, you're shutting yourself off from the craft of writing. I mean, you really are. And to read. I mean, it is the school of writing when you're an avid reader.
Yeah.
Well, as I said,
you
call it research. Chalk it up for research. Don't think it. Oh, I have to go grab a book off a shelf and I'm going to read this just for fun. Well, like I don't know. Just take Daniel for instance. Oh well, here I'm going to read this. He wrote the book on Victorian ketchup. Well, okay, I'm going to read this book on sauces, or I'm going to read this book on, you know, some kind of fruity compote, or, you know, just read something that's going to relate to what you're writing. Same way with you, you know, you pick up a book about spirituality, or you pick up a book about being clairvoyant, or, you know, it's just showing you, oh, well, yeah, this would relate to this character, or I could add this in and this maybe would help somebody or open their eyes to this. You know, because like I said, it's always learning. You never know everything. You know, you always learn something. And so even if it's just chalk it up to research writing, I mean reading, then do it. You know, you've got to keep reading.
Yeah, and I think it's so important, like you said, to go outside of our genre because we truly never, do know it all. We've always got things to learn. And if we're, dead set on a certain genre, then we're going to limit ourselves. You know, we can really expand, like you said. You know, this could be another character. You could inspire someone. You never know where it's going to take you.
Bingo.
And you don't know if you're going to like it unless you try it.
That's it.
No, spot on.
I don't normally read romance, and we have a writer friend. Well, she's one of our authors now, but Kathy Jackson, and I just don't read romance. I just not. That's a particular kind of fan, and I read paranormal, you know, and vampires and witches and, you know, things like that, or, you know, about being a medium, you know, about spirituality and different things like that. I read stuff, you know, related to those things. But I was like, oh, I'll try her. Well, she got me hooked, doggone it. And now I'm like, darn you, because she keeps writing another book in this series. I'm like, darn it, because I read these romance, and because she writes them really well, and I got attached to the characters, and it was something like I would have never thought I would read. But that's it. Until you try it, you don't know. It's just like food or anything else. Mm-hmm. Until you try it, you don't know. And then it opened your eyes to other things. You're like, oh, well, maybe I would enjoy this, or maybe, you know.
Yeah.
You can use it in your writing. So, you just... It's good to read outside your genre.
Absolutely.
It's like two books that I've got right here that I'm reading right now. Nashville Streetcars and Interurban Railway.
Yeah.
And then Cruiser and Baldwin's Illustrated Catalog of Carriages. You know, that is research, but it is pleasure reading to me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just like the book I've got about Queen Victoria that sits at my bedside, you know, that I read. Because, you know, my love of Queen Victoria. And so I read that. And then on top of that, I've got the book, you know, Anne Rice's book, Lestat. So,
You
know. I'm all over the place, too. But It is. It's good to read for, you chalk it up for research or chalk it up, hey, I'm going to try a new genre. I'm going to go outside my comfort zone, what I normally read, what I write. I'm going to try it, you know?
Yeah.
And just see. You just don't know what's out there that, you know, you may be missing. And you were saying that you're talking about you're writing a romance series, right?
You know, there is a little bit of a romance element with it, but it's paranormal romance. But it's, I would say the paranormal and her abilities are most prominent in it. There is some romance, but it's more like, I really am fascinated, like you, Holly, with the mediumship, the paranormal, the spirituality,
right.
You know, kind of like the suspense, the mystery, just kind of putting like a hodgepodge of it all in there. Because really,
right.
Life is kind of like a hodgepodge of all that, you know? So I just kind of like throw a little bit of all of it in there.
That's it, because that is real life.
Yeah.
And that makes your characters relatable. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's true.
So people
and,
could be like, oh, yeah.
Yes. And, yeah, folks, you definitely need to check out. If you have not read Butterfly Secrets, definitely start there. And Butterfly Dreams, pick them both up. But, yeah, it's available on Kindle Unlimited even. And I see that it's also available on audiobook. And you have hardcover and paperback versions. And then Butterfly Dreams is available, I saw, in paperback, hardcover, and ebook. And, yeah, you definitely want Holly over. Yeah, because you have this beautiful teal butterfly on the cover. And, and even a dream catcher on the first book's art. So, you're right up Holly's alley.
We need to meet Holly.
We do. I hope you can make it to Imaginarium next year. That would be phenomenal.
I definitely
plan on
it. Oh, yeah,
I've already bugged her about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to keep reminding you because, I mean, that would be awesome.
And someone else in her family that is an awesome person from the indie film world who needs to come.
He's coming to, yes, absolutely.
There
we'll
you go.
There with bells on.
There you go.
Yes. So, folks, if you have Kindle Unlimited, I mean, it is available, Butterfly Secrets, and that just came out in 2020, and here a year later, we've got Butterfly Dreams, and so, you're on the move. Looking good.
Well, is there anything 51. That we've not covered that you wanted to cover?
I will brag about her real quick. I'll brag about G. She had 51 ratings on the first book, 4.7 out of 5 cumulative, 85% are 5-star ratings. That's on 51 reviews on the first book. So good job. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I would just like to put out a plug. I will be at the Red Spotted Newt in Hazard. I know that's away probably from most of the listeners, but I will be there November 20th from 1 to 2 o'clock at the Red Spotted Newt in Hazard for a special book signing. And I would just tell the listeners to stay soon, because I have a lot more media appearances coming as, you know, things open up, and I'll be out and about, and I definitely plan on being at the Imaginarium and can't wait to meet you, Holly, and see you again, Stephen, and Charles, and I'll be there with bells on.
Yeah, send me the information on the Hazard, because Holly's son lives down there. He might be able to pass it on to a few of his friends as well, because he lives down by Hazard. So.
I love that.
You can't miss him.
Thank
you. He's literally 6'5 and over 500 pounds. You won't miss him when he comes to see you.
No.
He comes to see you.
No, that's my little boy. You won't miss him.
You won't miss him.
My son's 6'4", so I get that.
You understand.
He's a big fella.
Yeah.
So, I just love the guy.
I'm an Amazon, and he makes me look small, and that's hard to do. And he makes me look small.
So he's down there by Hazard, so we'll have to get me the info on that. And great venue name. What a venue name.
Yeah.
Is it a bookstore?
Yeah, it totally is. It's a bookstore, and it does pretty well there. They have some eclectic materials. They do like a lot of local authors. It's a really cool vibe.
That's awesome. Yeah, we need to find out more about that, Holly.
Yeah, we need to go down there and check it out.
I'll pass
yeah, absolutely.
To, you, to both of you so you can see it?
Please do.
I know they would love to have your books as well because they love to feature Kentucky authors.
Oh, well then we definitely
need to
get a hold
yeah.
of them. That'd be great.
Yeah. But yeah, we definitely want to spotlight the indie bookstores that are helping the indie authors in the area. That's a big thing
yep.
with us. So yeah, send us that info.
Absolutely.
Sure. And what social
Daniel,
media?
Daniel,
do you
have anything else before
oh, yeah.
before she gives her last comments?
Well, we need to find out where we can find her online.
I was just about to ask that.
Yeah, you can actually go to my website. It has the links to Barnes & Nobles. You can find me at Walmart, different venues. But if you go to www.gl, there's no dots, just www.glblackhouse.com, mm-hmm. I have a website, and it's got all the information. There's book trailers on there and a lot more, and it'll have media appearances, things like that as well.
Very good.
That's glblackhouse.com. glblackhouse.com. And so they'll have links for all that. So follow up on that, folks, and pick up Butterfly Secrets and Butterfly Dreams, the brand new release. So is there any last statements tonight? And we'll sign off after that. But yeah, we definitely want to give you the floor for the final words.
No, I just want to thank all of you for the opportunity to be here. I'm so glad to be back, and I've really enjoyed it.
We enjoyed having you.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was awesome. I already got messages. I want to tell you, I already got messages on Facebook from a few listeners that said they are absolutely enjoying tonight's conversation. So we already have feedback.
Nice.
On tonight.
I love it.
Yes.
Buy her books.
Yes. Yes. Buy her books. Yeah. Show your love for the Star Chamber show by buying some GL Blackhouse books so she can see the impact here.
Thank you.
That'd be awesome. So, but definitely have you back. Definitely want to have you back regularly and hope you can make it to the convention next year. But we've had
yeah.
a great night and definitely we'll come back next Wednesday with another great creative guest, and that is. It for me, I'll turn it over to Holly Daniel, and you can sign us out.
Thank you for joining us tonight, GL. It was a wonderful discussion, and I know people have learned a lot of things, too. And we will be back next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Central Time or Eastern Standard Time, and we will talk to you then. There you go, Daniel.
And as our standard is, we try to bring you some of the most relevant information on the newest and greatest authors out there. Tonight has been no type of recollection of how great this person is when it comes to her writing and stuff. You will have to find that out yourself. You know, She is doing things with her writing that any of us can do if we just bring it to ourselves to actually do it. Until we meet again next week, be creative.